Reading tonight is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and we're going to read the last seven verses of that chapter, and just a little bit of context as well. First bit of chapter 12. Mark 11, verse 27. And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say, from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say, of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, just to sort of pick up on the same sort of theme that we've got tonight. chapter 12, verse 1, he speaks unto them by parables. Then we have in verse 13, that they sent certain of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. And then verse 18, then came unto him the Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection. And then finally, one of the scribes come, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he'd answered them well, asked him another question. So just also to fit in with the background of read tonight, and we trust the Lord's blessing upon his word as we consider it together. Verses 13 through to 26 we considered last time, and in that we considered that there was the barrenness of the fig tree. It had borne no fruit, and nor was it to bear any fruit thereafter. There was the barrenness of the fear of the Lord in the temple. They had turned the temple outer courts into a marketplace. And then there's the barrenness of the faithless prayer. Now, as we go through this passage, we're following the daily visits of the Lord Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem as he goes there with his disciples each day in the run-up to the Passover feast. Jesus' regular attendance at the temple provides opportunity for him to point out the failures in practice and the faithlessness of the scribes and the Pharisees, etc. But also he's there to teach the truth about the kingdom of God. Mark 12, verse 37 tells us the common people, they heard him gladly. Those in authority, they did not hear him gladly because their authority was being undermined. And the Lord Jesus, in his time there, he had made his mark and he had made his intentions known. He had cleared the temple outer court. And now this upset the status quo and has drawn attention to himself, and that's why these different groups take it in turns to have a go at silencing this prophet from Nazareth. So in our section tonight, Mark 11, verses 27 to 33, we have the authority of the Lord Jesus questioned. And as we will see in further studies, God willing, in Mark 12, 13 to 17, Jesus is questioned about paying taxes to Caesar. Then following that, in Mark 12, verses 18 to 27, the Sadducees offer a hypothetical and frankly impossible scenario to confound the great teacher. And then finally, in Mark 12, verses 28 to 34, a discreet scribe seeks clarification on something about the great commandment, and he gets a perfectly scriptural answer. So we have before us a series of challenges being brought to the Lord Jesus. Questions, scenarios that he is faced with because those that were there wanted to find fault. Now, the passage tonight that we're thinking about breaks down into almost couplets. Verses 27 and 28, that's really the challenge of the question of authority that the scribes and the priests and the elders come to him with. Verses 29 to 30, the Lord Jesus turns it around to them and gives them the challenge of the ministry of John the Baptist. Verses 31 and 32, this now means that they have a bit of a conundrum. The questioners do not have a suitable answer. And then finally in verse 33, to finish off the section, they say, "We cannot tell," and therefore there was no response required from the Saviour. Now, the first of these challenging questions is most interesting in the way that the Lord Jesus redirects the question right back at them. He marvellously turns the tables, and the Lord Jesus, he has come again into Jerusalem, so we can see the pattern. Each day he's coming into Jerusalem. He goes off to Bethany and seeks refuge there for the night. But each day he comes into Jerusalem, and each day he goes to the temple. And there are three groups of people that are keen to have words with this rabbi from Nazareth. There are the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now, just thinking briefly about these three. The chief priests, these are the high priests. These are representatives of the people before the Lord. They're taking the people's offerings and offering incense in the temple. And they're threatened because Jesus is saying that he is the way to God. So the priesthood was in jeopardy. And indeed, aren't we glad we don't go through any other priests today? We go through the Lord Jesus. Then there's the scribes, those that wrote the law and copied the texts for the reading in synagogues and, of course, to sell to other nations, as we have in the example of the Ethiopian eunuch who came to Jerusalem and purchased a copy of Isaiah. And these scribes, they're threatened by Jesus' words against them because they were abusing their position, twisting God's word to meet their own ends. And then finally, it's the elders. These are the members of the Sanhedrin, the council. They are the men that were given authority by the ruling Romans to govern over simple local matters. Now, they did not have the authority to condemn a man to death, they did have certain other powers. Now, anyone would think that these three groups are ganging up on Jesus, and so we just take note that when a mob comes, we don't expect there to be an open-minded discussion. Nevertheless, they come with a very simple and a direct question, verse 28. Their minds are already made up. They're just trying to make Jesus look bad by publicly declaring that his authority is from God, so they would have grounds to say that he is speaking blasphemy. Because they say, "Who gave thee this authority?" They're trying to get him to say, well, this authority, of course, comes from the Father. And that direct link would be their grounds for saying he was blaspheming. Now, verse 29, all eyes are on him now. What is he going to say? Now, the Master, of course, knows all the hearts of all men and, of course, their objective. He turns the tables. He turns a question right around back at them. He offers them a response if they answer his question first. So, in essence, I'm willing to tell you, if you're willing to tell me, the answer to this question. Now, the masterstroke is that will show their true motive of the question is not to get an answer. Because, as we'll see, they're not willing to give an answer either. They just wanted a reason to point the finger without having to expose their hatred. So the question is simple in verse 30. Of all the questions that the Lord Jesus could have asked them about the Old Testament, the history of Israel, the Lord Jesus picks something that's current, something that's very relevant to their current situation. Now, it appears that the public ministry of John the Baptist is relatively short. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 indicate that it's the same time period around the time when the Lord Jesus' public ministry begins, and the people that are listed there are all people that are still alive when the Lord Jesus is crucified. So it's a short public ministry. But the purpose of his ministry was that he was the forerunner. And as he would say concerning the popularity of the Lord Jesus, John would say, he must increase, but I must increase. So Jesus asks if the ministry of repentance that John preached, at baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Now, if we just take a moment to look at those that came to John, they would include the people, it would include the publicans or tax collectors, include the soldiers, but it wouldn't include any of those people who were standing now questioning the Lord Jesus. So they were not part of those that came to John. So they were not part of those that accepted that his ministry was from God. Now, verse 31, it's time for them to have a little huddle and talk amongst themselves, because they weren't expecting that. Now, these were not unlearned men, and they knew that they could have a response, but that would easily undermine their credentials. So the Lord Jesus, very skillfully, he gives them two options, only two to choose from. John's ministry was either from heaven or from men. Now, which was it? It's very binary, and really, it's the same sort of question that people have to reckon with the Lord Jesus. Jesus is either the Son of God, as he said and demonstrated that he is, or he's merely a man acting as a deluded megalomaniac set on his own grandeur. There isn't really a third option to pick. And the Lord Jesus, when he's dealing with these detractors, doesn't give them a third option either. But what we see is that the discussion reveals exactly their attitude towards John's message as well. They said, if they'd said the baptism of John was from heaven, Jesus would say, then why didn't you believe him? Indicating that they didn't believe the baptism of John. And of course, they weren't listed in those people that did come to John. As the forerunner of Jesus had rejected the message of John, why then would they believe the message of the Lord Jesus? So that's what they reasoned in verse 31. In verse 32, the next option is even worse. They say to say that the baptism of John was from men would be social suicide. John was revered as a prophet indeed. He was willing to stand up to Herod about Philip's wife, whom Herod had taken for himself. He pointed the people back to God via the baptism of repentance. And he died because of his testimony, making him a martyr. But this group of men, it says here that they feared the people. Some authority they had. They came as a mob to Jesus, but they were afraid of the people becoming a mob to them. And that shows that they were just behaving like typical bullies. And so their only other option, verse 33, was to say nothing. They couldn't take either option given to them without exposing themselves and their true motives before Jesus and the people. So they said, we cannot tell. We don't know. Or we refuse to tell you what we really think. Here's a little lesson. Don't assume that silence implies consent. People may disagree with you and simply say nothing. But as they were not able to give the Lord an answer, they had not met the criteria he had given them. And therefore he responds, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. And what we'll see is in the next examples of questions that are brought to the Lord Jesus, it shows us that he is the master of wisdom and discernment. And as he himself said, indeed a greater than Solomon is here. It's not a very long passage, but it is certainly very instructive, and we trust the Lord's blessing upon our meditation and consideration, not just of this passage, but also the surrounding verses.